Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the FinecoBank first quarter 2015 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Foti, CEO of FinecoBank. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us on our first quarter 2015 results conference call. 2015 started with an excellent pace. We confirmed our sustainable growing trends, and we continue to deliver solid results. Let's move immediately to key highlights of this quarter. We posted a net profit of 47.8 million, with an increase of 29.4% compared to the same quarter in 2014, and 17.6% compared to the last 3 months of the past year. Analyzed return on equity at 44%, 7 percentage points higher year-on-year, and 6 percentage points higher quarter-on-quarter. We are very satisfied about the quality of these results. The sound revenues up to about 137 million, showing an increase of about 21% year-on-year and 16% quarter-on-quarter, and are well distributed across all the product areas, confirming the strength of our business model, supported by an increasing loyal client base. To this extent, I would like to remark that Fineco currently counts over 994,000 clients. Revenues, strong performance has been boosted by the remarkable contribution of fees and commissions. They increased more than 29% year-on-year and more than 16% quarter-on-quarter, supported by a growing client's demand for advanced advisory services. In this context, commissions related to the investing area contributed the most, with a strong acceleration of 14% since the last quarter and 38% since the first quarter of the previous year. It is worth mentioning that our commissions are entirely composed of management fees with recurring features. Remarkable contributions comes also from trading income with almost 7 million in a quarter. Just to clarify, our trading income has a commercial nature related to the internalization activity, as we are able to directly match part of the client's orders thanks to the granularity of our business. Cost income is down to 44%. Cost set of 59.8 million include a strong seasonality in comparison with the last quarter of 2013, related to the personal financial advisor social security contribution, which affected the most of the beginning of the year, and the discontinuity related to the stock granting plans not in place in the first quarter 2014. Comparable costs grew 8.3% year-on-year and 5% quarter-on-quarter, respectively 4.3 million and 2.6 million. Common equity Tier 1 ratio on transitional basis slightly increased to 19.38%, confirming our sound capital position. Commercial performance at record level with net sales at all-time high and equal to 1.6 billion, plus 53% year-on-year and plus 31% quarter-on-quarter, leveraging on favorable structural trends such as growing clients' demand for advisory and the increasing digitalization trend in Italy. Total financial assets reached 53.7 billion, plus 8.9% respect December 2013, and assets under management represents almost half of the total assets. Net sales kept on growing very well also in April. We gathered almost 500 million, more than 40% above the same month of 2013, boosting total net sales since the beginning of the year at 2.1 billion, plus 50% year-on-year, with asset under management at 1.5 billion in the first 4 months, and up by 84% year-on-year. We are very proud of our organic growth, confirmed as one of the key pillars in our business model, boosting revenues in a sustainable and wealthy way. Moving now to the results, slide 5, looking at our P&L performance more in detail, we registered net profit of 47.8 million in the first quarter of 2015, with a double-digit growth compared to the previous year, plus 28% year-on-year and plus 71% quarter-on-quarter. These results broke to an annualized return on equity of 44%, well above the level registered at the year-end 2013, equal to 38%. Revenues were up 20.9% year-on-year and 16% quarter-on-quarter. Costs set at 59.8 million include a strong seasonality in comparison with the last quarter of 2014 related to the personal financial advisor social security contribution and the discontinuity in comparison with the first quarter 2013 related to the stock granting plans. The comparable dynamics on cost show the real growth, which amounts at 2.6 million or 5% versus the fourth quarter 2014 and 4.3 million or 83% versus the first quarter 2014. At a lower pace compared to the revenues development. On slide 6, revenues by P&L items. Slide 6, you find an overview of our revenues generation, supported by strong results from all P&L income items. Net interest income continued to grow to 57.6 million plus 3.1% quarter-on-quarter, slightly down 1.3% year-on-year, supported by rising volumes despite the current macro scenario characterized by weak interest rates and lower margins. Fee and commissions took the lion's share in revenues generation with a double-digit growth equal to 16.6% quarter-on-quarter and 29.3% year-on-year. This excellent performance was registered both by investing and brokerage area. Into details, investing actively benefited not only from the evolution of the total financial assets, but also from the continuously growing penetration of the gathered products out of asset under management, reaching a level of 39%. The commissions were entirely represented by management fees, contributed to a relentless increase in margins grew from 58 basis points in the first quarter 2013 to 62 basis points in the first quarter 2015. On the brokerage side, the activity registered a record level, benefiting from a spike in volatility during the first month of 2015. March was the best month of the last 4 years for brokerage. The robust revenues generation has been sustained also by trading income, contributing to 17.1 million in the first quarter, with an increase of 65% quarter-on-quarter and 141% year-on-year. It's worth noting that our trading income is fee-like. Slide 7 on net interest. Sight deposits, strong growth of almost 8% compared to the previous quarter and more than 16% versus the first quarter in 2013. Our transactional liquidity is sticky, is not driven by interest rates, but is linked to the high quality of our banking platform, contributing to an increasing acquisition of loyal client base. As you know, The liquidity we gather is very cheap, with a cost of deposits of 14 basis points, which is continuously shrinking from 20 basis points in the fourth quarter 2013 and 46 basis points in the first quarter of 2014. This effect, combined with the strong volumes growth on deposits, more than offset the reduction in margins to the current environment. As you can see at the bottom of the slide, the gross margins on our 14.1 billion of direct deposits move to 1.56% in the first quarter of 2015. Slight hit on cost. Staff expenses under control at 18.4 million, with an increase in the working force, bringing full-time equivalents up to 990. This item includes also costs for the stock granting applicable to the key employees. As you can see in the upper right chart of the slides, this amount is equal to 0.9 million in the first quarter. Other administrative expenses at 39.4 million in the first quarter, of which 23 million development cost and 16 million running cost. As said before, the first quarter includes 3 million of discontinuity related to the financial advisor stock granting plan in comparison with the first quarter 2014. Net of this item, comparable costs grew 2.4 million due to development costs to sustain the growth. First quarter include also 3.4 million of seasonality related to personal financial advisor social security contribution as an ASARCO association and a FIR termination compensation fund. These charges usually affect the first month of each year the most, as the payments are subjected to a yearly cap. Comparable costs versus the fourth quarter 2013 grew 4.1 million with running costs for the good functioning of operational machine set at 16 million, back to its physiological level. Capital ratio, Fineco confirmed itself as a very strong capitalized bank able to support the future growth. Our common equity tier 1 ratio transitional stood at 19.38%. Slide 10 on total financial assets. Here you can find quite a long historical series of Fineco's total financial assets, and as you can see, it's extremely consistent and continuously growing. Since 2010, we have been able to gather 13.2 billion of net sales in every market conditions. This growing trend is continuing in 2015 with record net sales at 1.6 billion in the first 3 months, following the excellent results recorded in 2013, with net sales at an all-time high of 4 billion, highlighting our capability to further accelerate Fineco's commercial growth. Finally, such development has been coupled with an increasingly better quality, with the percentage of guided products over the total asset under management growing over time from 2% in 2010 to 39%, with a strong acceleration in the last quarters. Now let's move to a breakdown of total financial assets and net sales. We recorded the total net sales of 1.6 billion since the beginning of 2015, an increase of 53% compared to the same period in 2013, and we reached 2.1 billion as of April 2015. I would like to highlight that the monthly net sales evolution is confirming the structural growing trends in place. Compared to the same month of 2014, net sales increased 56% year on year in January, 34% in February, almost 70% in March and 32% in April. Asset mix is progressively more skewed towards asset under management, now representing almost half of the total assets, headed by a strong bulk of guided products at 39%. Guided products are more profitable and generate a high customer satisfaction thanks to the high quality of the service provided. Slide 12 on personal financial advisors. In the first 3 months of 2015, Financial Planners Network registered a record performance with 1.4 billion of net sales, almost 53% higher than the first quarter 2014, and 32.4% up compared to the fourth quarter. Organic growth, one of our key pillars, is continuously taking the lion's share in this growth, confirming our wealthy and sustainable expansion and proving the fairness and transparency of the bank towards its clients, which autonomously choose Fineco as primary bank to manage their savings. On top of that, we continued on our recruiting activity through the hiring of 31 highly qualified personal financial advisors in the first quarter of 2015 to increase the power of our commercial engine. On slide 14, we have now revenues by product tower. As you can see on page 14, our revenues were well distributed across banking, brokerage, and investing area. Banking contributed the most to the revenue generation through 56.1 million, increased of 1.3% quarter on quarter and 5.2% year on year. During this quarter, 32% of revenues were generated by brokerage activity, 43.1 million of revenues since the beginning of the year, showing a strong increase both compared to the same period in 2014, plus 45.7%, and to the previous quarter, plus 38.4%. Investing revenue dynamics was also very positive, almost 38% year-on-year and more than 14% quarter-on-quarter, benefiting not only from the evolution of the total financial assets, but also from the increasing penetration of the guided products out of asset under management, reaching a level of 39%. On slide 5, we have some analysis on banking. Direct deposits grew more than 80% year-on-year and 4.5% quarter-on-quarter. It's worth noting that the vast majority of our deposit base is made of sight deposits, meaning that we benefit from transactional liquidity at very low cost. The high quality of our banking platform contributes to an increasing acquisition of loyal client base. We closed the first quarter with 988,000 clients, and as disclosed some days ago, we reached 994,000 customers at the end of April. More than 40,000 new customers acquired since the beginning of the year, increasing by 9% compared to the same period in 2013. Despite the current environment characterized by a reduction in margins, our banking revenues grew thanks to this positive volume effect and the constant reduction in cost of funding. Slide 16, brokerage. Brokerage registered a strong performance, confirming itself as a key contributor to the revenue growth. Brokerage core revenues, which excludes the security lending business and does not include the net interest, grew double-digit both year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter at 38.4% and 45.7% respectively, benefiting from some spikes in market volatility experienced during the quarter. March 2015 has been the new best month of the last 4 years for brokerage revenues. Slide 17, investing. Investing business dynamics further highlights the strength of our unique business model and our positioning to capture healthy long-term sector dynamics. Investing revenues strongly grew more than 38% year-on-year and more than 14% quarter-on-quarter on the boost of the total financial assets at all-time high and the increased penetration of the guided products, contributing to a relentless increase in margins on management fees from 58 basis points in the first quarter 2013 to 62 basis points in the first quarter 2015. We will now open the call to questions, and many thanks for the attention.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Gianluca Ferrari of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning, Alessandro. Three, four questions from my side. First of all, I would like to understand the bond issuances from UniCredit in April and May, if you can give us an indication of the spread that those issuances gave you. My second question is a feeling on executed orders in April. Did April go in line with March, or the overall number of executed orders was much lower than that? The third question is on costs, in particular the stock granting for both the management and financial advisors. It seems to me that you are a bit behind schedule on the plan for the management, less than 1 million. If I remember correctly, you were planning 6, 7 million for full year 15, while you are well ahead on the stock granting plan for financial advisors, 3 million out of 6 to 8 for full year 15. So is it correct to assume that in the next three quarters, the plan for the management will pick up, while for financial advisors we will see a slowdown? My last question, I don't know if you want to answer, but I saw a very, very strong progression of investing and a pretty nice stability of banking in terms of revenues. So even if we normalize brokerage and we assume the next three quarters will be pretty normal, I would get very easily to revenues above 500 million. Is this a fair assumption in your view, or you simply don't want to comment? Thank you.
Many thanks for your questions. Let's start from the first question. So the last bond we acquired, issued by UniCredit, they had a spread of 1%. Regarding the April executed orders, we can say that in terms of number of executed orders, we are pretty much in line with the month of March. And regarding stock granting plan, there is no difference. So we confirm that the final end, the total amount is going to be 14 million. And so there is no risk to have an increase or not. So this is the amount, and we confirm that there you cannot expect any kind of change. On revenues generation, clearly we don't give a precise guideline, so we prefer not making comments. But in any case, what we can say that clearly there is on banking net interest margin, we can confirm that again, as we said many times, we are quite confident that our net interest income is going to remain stable and slightly rising thanks to the volumes effect and the fact that we are continuously gathering transactional liquidity that is steadily but relentless driving down the cost of funding. On investing, again, we keep on expecting double-digit growth. And brokerage clearly is characterized by is driven by volatility, but again, what we can say that the floor of our business is keeping on growing because in any case, Fineco is keeping on acquiring new clients, is keeping on expanding its own market share, and so brokerage as well is going to stay in a quite nice position.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Federico Salerno of MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. A couple of questions, please. On trading income, it was an especially good quarter. Was there any specific reason, or you just profited from the fall in rates? What's the outlook here, if you feel like giving one? And then the second question, some of your competitors seem to be recruiting a bit less FAs. I know that for you, it's not a primary target, but I was just curious to have your view on the market. Is it becoming less easy and more costly to hire FAs these days, or you believe that conditions are fairly stable? Thank you.
On first question on trading income. So I want to remind that our trading income is commercially driven because it's driven by the fact that Fineco, thanks to the large volumes and the granularity of the orders, and the fact that our orders are 100% driven by retail clients, we are able to match directly the orders, and clearly the larger is the number of transactions, and usually the bigger is the amount of trading income that we can generate. So the main reason why the trading income has been particularly high is because we had definitely a larger number of transactions. On recruiting, our view on the market, we think that the market is pretty stable on that side. Probably a point of attention on the activity related to of recruiting of bankers, so private bankers or persons coming from traditional banks. For sure, regarding this, the situation is expected to become a little bit more complex because clearly we have traditional banks. Clearly, that they are putting more attention regarding this point.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Villa of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A few questions remaining from my side. Again, on trading income, if I may, because it was pretty high compared to what I was expecting. How much of it is commercially driven? So, thinking that the order level might stay stable or going up, we should expect this number to be relatively close to what we have seen in first quarter, or the market condition in first quarter played a significant effect on this number. And again, on recruitment effect on net inflows, it was quite low on net inflows in the first quarter, and the driver of net inflows was clearly the organic growth, which is good news. But I think with the level of recruitment, maybe in the future also the contribution coming from recruitment to net inflows could be higher. And do you have any range of net inflows for this year that you want to share with us?
So let's move on trading profit. Again, the 100% of our trading profit is commercially driven, because again is a trading profit generated by the fact that we are able to match directly the order of our clients without taking any kind of market risk. And the main KPI to use in order to try to understand the amount of the trading profit that we can have is related to the number of transactions. Clearly, the higher is the level of activity on the market, and then the higher tends to be the amount of our trading profit. And clearly, we can say that clearly this is pretty related to the volatility of the market, because the more volatility we have on the market, and this tends to generate more number of transactions, and the more number of transactions we have, and generally more trading income we can have. So clearly, I cannot give you a clear guidance because, unfortunately, we are not able to forecast exactly the expected volatility in the next few months. But again, is clearly a huge advantage that Fineco has, because thanks to the huge dimension of the business, we are able to head on top of the usual profitability driven by the commissions. So we are able also to add this one, that again is 100% commercially driven. Regarding the, clearly, we are extremely proud of the, regarding the quality of our growth in the first quarter, because it's been huge, so much more than we were expecting, and definitely much more than we had in the same period of the last year that has been a record year. But even more interesting is the fact that is, for the most part, organically driven. So this means that we are is driven by our capability to attract new clients, bringing new assets, or old clients bringing new assets to us. And again, is we have clients that more and more are choosing Fineco as a bank of reference. A very interesting point to underline that practically the cluster on which we are growing the most is the so-called affluent, upper affluent clients. And so the highest level of growth has been experienced in clients with more than 500,000 total assets in their hand. And so for the future, on recruiting, again, we confirm that we have in mind to recruit a number of financial planners in the range between 100-140 new financial planners, that are pretty much in line with what we did in the past years. Because again, for us, recruiting is not a substitution of organic growth, but it's complementary, and it's a way to increase the powerness of our engine to better capture the huge opportunities that are emerging on Italian market. And in terms of guidance on net sales, we prefer to be not giving any kind of guidance, because we can say that we have entered in a kind of an uncharted territory, because we are growing much more than we were expecting. And so we prefer to wait for some more months passing in order throughout, because as you know, for net sales, there is a very clear seasonality. And so when during the fall, we will be able to understand if we can confirm that Fineco has entered definitely in a new phase of even more accelerated growth. Clearly, we remain quite positive on the future, because the two main secular and structural trends supporting our growth are fully in place, and they're going to stay. One is the structural change in terms of behaviors by the Italian clients in the way they're managing their assets, and the second is the very quickly accelerating process of digitalization of the Italian society.
Thank you.
The next question is from Matteo Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a question on administrative expenses, other administrative expenses, which were quite high in the first quarter, and you explained why. My question is if you expect the typical seasonality, so in the second quarter, higher administrative expenses or not, because the first quarter was so high. So should we expect 42 million in the second quarter or not? It's probably going to be flattish. Just if you have any indication. Thank you.
Again, the first quarter, there has been this this increase that is seasonally driven. And let me spend a few seconds in giving you more visibility on how does it work in Asarco and FIR. Asarco and FIR is a contribution that we have to put aside for practically the retirement of our financial planners. This is mandatory, and this is strictly related to the dimensions of the network and the volumes generated by the network. It's characterized by that there is a cap, so there is a fixed amount that you can pay, and clearly the more accelerated is your growth, and the more visible is the seasonal effect, because clearly if you grow more than in the previous year, you tend to anticipate what you have to put aside, because there is a cap, and so clearly this effect is going to disappear going through the next quarters.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Federico Salerno of MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I take advantage of your time since we're here. Just a couple more things, please. On deposits, do you think that as you grow and your bargaining power increases, maybe you could move to a situation where you could have negative deposit rates even, or you think it's never going to happen? And then can you remind me what the guidance is on the Single Resolution Fund and Deposit Guarantee Scheme for this year, please?
So regarding our clients, they are more and more choosing our bank as a primary bank and bringing to us this transactional liquidity, because again, our business model is a business model interested in taking on board clients for the right reasons. So because clients are appreciating our platforms. Having said that, clearly we don't expect to move anytime soon in the direction to charge to our clients for their deposits. Regarding the deposit guarantee schemes and the Single Resolution Fund, let me summarize what's going on, because it's a quite complex topic, and clearly the indications by ECB that not be completely clear. In any case, we have these two contribution schemes launched by the European directives number 49 and 59 in 2014, related to deposit guarantee schemes and Single Resolution Fund. This became effective from 2015, and they will be presented in the provision for risk and charges. Regarding the deposit guarantee schemes, the estimate of annual cost equal to 0.8% in 10 years of covered deposits would be approximately 10 million per year. In 2015, this charge will wait only for the half, about 5 million. As a matter of clarification, we are still waiting for further clarification in the direction if this is going to pass through entirely through the P&L, or, for example, there is a portion that can be put aside through collateral. But this is still underway. Regarding the Single Resolution Fund, the estimate of annual cost that this is the last fresh calculation we received by IHABI, Association of Italian Banks, that for us it seems to be in the region of 3 million, because I want to remind that Single Resolution Fund is not the same for all the banks, but is strictly related to the level of risk. The less risky is your bank, and the lower is the amount of money that you have to put aside. And clearly, Fineco, thanks to the business model, the very sound capital position, is for sure one of the least risky banks in the Italian environment. For in the first quarter 2015, we have no, we has not been included any impact of these charges, as Directive 49 and 59 have not yet been transposed into national legislation.
Okay, so 3 million per year.
So we have 3 million for the single resolution fund and 5 million for 2015 for the guaranteed deposit scheme, and it's going to be 10 million when it is 100% full in place. So you can expect 10 million on deposit guarantee schemes in 2016 and 3 million for the single resolution fund.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Foti, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Many thanks to all, and see you soon.